Blog Talk Radio.
Live from the Virtual Tone Studios in Houston, Texas, it's Tough Talk with...
Right now at Lowe's, get savings you won't believe on our top Whirlpool appliances. Save $1,200 on Whirlpool Gold Stainless Steel 4-Door Refrigerators, now only $1,299. Or clean up with savings of $600 on Whirlpool Cabrio High Efficiency Top Load Washers and Dryers. Get the pair for $998. Plus, get an additional 5% off every day when you use your Lowe's consumer credit card or any Lowe's business credit account. Lowe's, never stop improving. Offers valid through 11/14. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Blog Talk Radio.
Live from the Virtual Tone Studios in Houston, Texas, it's Tough Talk with Tony Gambo. Brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. Now here's your host, Tony Gambo.
Okay, welcome to the show. I am really excited tonight that we have this opportunity to have a special show. And we are, there's a lot of things going on, and I just want to spread the word a little bit. And let me, before we bring our guest up, I want to make sure I set the stage properly. As people know, all my listeners know, this is a special show. Usually I'm on Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays from 3 to 4. This special show tonight is to talk to a gentleman by the name of Dr. Alan Kadish, and he's the president of World Stem Cell, an organization out of Cancun. There's a lot of things that are going to take place tonight, a lot of education. I am so excited about this gentleman that I've met and that I'm going to have a procedure done by that I wanted to take the opportunity to open up my show to him to come on and explain the do's and don'ts, what they do, what they don't do, what the processes are, who they deal with, what they don't deal with, the struggles that they have, and the awareness that everyone needs to learn about. So I thought it would be just fitting if I would use my show to spread the word and allow people here in the States, people that I've reached out to, patients of his that have reached back to him to talk about their experiences, to bring that all onto our show and let the people of our country learn a little bit of education that they're not available to learn here in the States. So with all that being said, I want to bring up Dr. Alan Kadish. Doctor, are you there?
I am. Thank you for the welcome.
And Doc, am I saying your last name right? Is it Kadish or Kadish?
Kadish, with a long A.
Kadish. Okay, so that wasn't that hard. Anyway, welcome to the show. Thank you very much for taking time out tonight to be with us and to go through this process of helping me educate my listeners to a lot of things that we're not aware of. So what we usually do with Tough Talk Radio is we find out a little bit about our guest, and I know that... You're in the Northwest, how do they say that, the Pac Northwest, is that right?
Well, we're in the Northwest, where my practice has been for 26 years in clinical, actually in a small town, fairly small, just under 100,000 folks in Medford, Oregon. And a number of years ago, I was recruited to participate with actually a patient who I had known for over 20 years who was interested in doing some stem cell research and potentially some clinical applications.
Okay. Well, you know, Doc, before we hit into the meat of a lot of different things, what I want to know is how long have you been practicing medicine?
27 years.
27 years. And in that 27 years, you started out as an MD?
I'm an MD,
you
still
are
correct.
An MD, right? But,
mm-hmm.
I mean...
I'm an MD.
Stem cell medicine isn't practiced here in the States.
It is, but to a very minor extent in the sense that the law passed by the FDA in 2005 specifically said, and this is Title 21, Number 1271, and the subsections thereof, that you can only do what's called minimal manipulation in order to not qualify the cells themselves as drugs. So in the sense that our intent was to do much more advanced work, the only option was to, in fact, go offshore. as most of the world has done for the last 20 years, and be able to really truly use all the mechanisms and materials that are available in stem cell work. And that's why when you did the introduction, our firm is that we are a patient management firm in Florida. However, the clinical facility is offshore in Cancun.
And when you, well, it's been my experience, and I'm learning every day, and I'm so thankful to God that there's people like yourself that are doing these types of things for people like myself who have suffered with a disease for 37 years that they say is no cause, no cure, at least as far as they know, that you're out there doing the things that you're doing, so there's more opportunity for people like myself to learn the education of what's out there. So before we go further, I just want to clear up a few things because I want to prevent people from calling in with all kinds of crazy accusations. What I would like to do is have you explain, because there's a couple different types of stem cell therapies, and I'm sure there's a lot of things going on in the country and outside the country that aren't just up to snuff, and I know that you don't even agree with it, a lot of the practices, but there's a lot of good things that are taking place. So could you explain to the listeners what it is that you don't do? I guess we could hit that area first.
All right. Excellent question. Excellent question. There are multiple groups of stem cells that are available to us. The most primordial, which is your very beginning steps, are embryonic. It brings up all sorts of religious connotations. It brings up a lot of controversy and what have you, because there's thought that perhaps they're being harvested inappropriately, and I'm going to completely disavow myself from this conversation in this portion because we don't use embryonic cells of any sort in our practice. So that is not part of what we do. However, there are many places throughout the world that are using embryonic processes and cell lines. You probably, and everyone else has undoubtedly heard back in the Bush era where there was the argument over the few cell lines that were currently being used for research that were embryonic, that certain ones could be used, certain ones couldn't be used, and there's quite a bit of fury and upset about that. There are four or five differentiations of the cells that are used throughout the industry. So embryonic is the first step. Then we have what's known as differentiation. This is a really important term. What it means is that as a cell matures, there's a one-way step from being able to make anything from the cell line, which is embryonic, to the next step, which is more what we call somatic, which has to do with the fact that it no longer has the capability to become a sperm or to become an ova, an egg. So you can't reproduce, you can't clone once those steps are already gone and you've moved to a different cell line. From the next step, you can then transverse even further and go down one of basically three primary paths. And each one of those three makes a different cell component. So as an example, there are certain cells that are specific to your gut, to hollow organs. There are others that are more specific to your musculature. There are others that will have neurological basis. And then as they go down that road even further, they will ultimately go only and exclusively to one type of cell. So again, it's all about differentiation, and the starting point is embryonic. The end point is a final cell that is absolutely, positively going to be and only will be a single unit. By definition, one of the other key characteristics of stem cells is they have to be able to consistently reproduce without the differentiation. That's one of the key characteristics of an actual stem cell. So if something were to just go one direction and move in that direction through its normal process, that is not a stem cell. But if one has the ability to recreate itself consistently, that's one of the other criteria that one needs to have to for the definition. So a good example, we have cells that sit everywhere in our body. We've now found that to be true. And if you were to injure yourself, let's take a really simple example. You cut yourself. You're in the kitchen, nick yourself with a knife. What happens? Well, the first thing that happens is actually more a chemical alarm system goes off, and the body is now notified that there's an injury. It's going to clot because we don't want to lose blood. It's going to do a number of other things, but it's also going to bring into the area a certain level of stem cells to recreate the injured area. And what do you see after a number of days or even a week or so? Well, you start seeing new skin and other connective tissue that you've injured now being repaired. That's done through the action of your own stem cells that are present. When we talk about stem cell therapies, you really want to broaden the conversation because, and it's a little complicated, so bear with me, and I'll be happy to get less complicated as time goes on here. It'll become clear, so again, a little patience. There are two very distinct areas of stem cell therapy which are complementary but not necessarily always used in the same venue, and that is you have those who are exclusively providing cells, and then you have those who are providing growth factors that suggest to the cell what to do. And then you have those, which is our camp, which essentially says, you know, at this juncture in medicine, we're not really certain whether it's exclusive to growth factors indicating to the existing cells as well as the cells we're implanting what's going on, or is it the new cells that are actually making the difference? So why not utilize both ends of the spectrum and put all of that into play in order to effectuate a change? Was that clear enough to give you a sense?
Yes. Yes, I got that. And, you know, I have people, my switchboard is lit up pretty good here, so I just want to make sure that I give everyone the number to call in questions because we're going to be on the air for a little while, and then we're going to start taking questions. So it's 347-989-1363. And if you want to connect to the host to make to ask questions, press the number 1. Also, I just wanted to clear up the fact that the process that you do, and you'll have to bear with me, Doc, because I don't have the terminology, so I want to use it in Tony's terms. But the process that you do is much not much like everyone is used to hearing about. It's not the embryonic. It's not from other people. It's not from animals. This is just from the human that is the cells are going into, or the cells that are coming out of the human that they're doing the process to. So I hope that I made that clear. So for people that are listening in, I want to make sure that you can go to the website, www.worldstemcells.com, okay, and what impressed me the most on this website was there's a ton of information, but treatable conditions. I've been posting that all day on Facebook and emails and LinkedIn. Click on that tab and look at the different things, because when you call in your questions, I want you to be specific about what it is you're talking about, because we're not just talking about Crohn's. We're talking about educating everyone that has a health issue. And, Doc, is it safe to say that not everyone that comes down the road is a fit for what you do, or is there a
Absolutely.
Fit for everyone?
No. Let's in fact backtrack a couple of steps, and let me give you some terminology so that we can fill in some blanks.
Okay.
There are autologous type cells. That means to say from your own body. There are allogenic, which means it's from another person's body, typically. And then you're right, we do have animal cell lines that are currently being used in certain areas. In fact, it was popularized. If you have some older listeners listening, you might recall in the 1930s to 50s, there was a large movement in Europe where sheep cells were being used by the Hollywood in crowd. It was a very, very in vogue, but not U.S.-approved therapy for rejuvenation. So for those of you who might recall some unusual happenings in Hollywood, 30s to 50s, using sheep cells was not unlike a typical therapy that for anti-aging. Curiously, that same approach is now being popularized again, and in a number of centers they are selling animal products as a cell rejuvenation method. My two cents on it, what a bad idea. What a terrible idea. The reason I say that is because we now, with genetic abilities and current technology, can show you that there is a DNA transference and there is some substantial risk, not minimal risk, when you induce different species DNA into your system. So be wary. Keep your eyes open as a consumer. It's certainly something to consider as being perhaps inappropriate. To answer your second question, probably about half of the calls we receive and folks that contact us via the web, we're not really the appropriate venue. So in our area of expertise, we chose four distinct medical conditions that we feel we have some fairly good, solid protocols. We see results with our clients. They include what's known as autoimmune diseases, the neurologic diseases, ophthalmologic, and orthopedic. Those four areas are literally our expertise. That covers, of course, a very broad width. I mean, neurological diseases is everything from Parkinson's to ALS, and many in-between pieces from muscular sclerosis, et cetera. And as you asked me earlier, even within those diseases, there are many that are not really applicable to treatment with stem cells. There is not a universal cure or any word of that sort that I'm aware of, and I think it inappropriate that anyone else should suggest anything of that sort as well. So there's a specific area where stem cell therapies can be very effective, and others where they're less effective, and some that are just, that's not it. It's going the wrong direction. Does that address those two? Does that clarify?
Yes. Yeah, so it's safe to say that, you know, I know that I've been battling Crohn's for 37 years, and one of the doctors that first treated me 30-some years ago always told me that the patient has to pay attention the most. And much like if people would pay attention to their body as closely as they pay attention to the new iPhone or computer they're going to buy, there could be a whole new movement. But we just seem to take for granted whatever we're told because it's really not that important to us unless we're on our deathbed that we really, really pay attention. And that's one of the main reasons why I think shows like we're doing tonight, people like yourself are so important to have available for questions and information, because there's just a whole bunch of, I mean, when my wife said to me about stem cell therapy, I was like, yeah, okay, you know, I am ready to wave a chicken over my head. I tried everything else. I'll listen to one more thing. But when I actually heard what it was and what it did, and it was from my own body and, you know, the whole process, I was like, I need to know more, because this sounds like something that, worst case scenario, the worst that could happen was it didn't work, but there was no side effects, where compared to the other treatments.
Okay, hang on. That brings up another question, and I just realized we probably need a few more definitions here.
All right.
For those of you listening to this program, you probably have also heard that there are different sources of stem cells from our own body. There's bone marrow, there's adipose tissue, fat, and a whole host of other areas. But those two are by far the most abundant and able to be concentrated. We do use both of those approaches, although my preference in many disorders is, in fact, using bone marrow, because although it sounds like it would hurt more, it actually is less invasive and has a very, very, very quick recovery period. And we find that the viability of the cells is very high, meaning to say that they have a good deal of vigor and are able to do the therapies that we're trying to make them go forward and expand, et cetera, all of those characteristics happen fairly effectively from bone marrow sources. And the same holds true for some fat. It's just there's a question as to which is an easier approach for most patients. Now, as to the side effects, hold the phone. Any procedure, and it would be just horrifically inappropriate not to say this, any procedure has a risk. Now, with all medical procedures, the key is to modify between minimizing risk, maximizing benefit, of course. The nice part with the stem cells, as you point out, if you're doing autologous, your own cells, is that there's not going to be a host versus graft reaction. They're your own cells. Your immune system is not going to dysfunction and all of a sudden decide something really amiss is taking place. The other piece of the puzzle, though, is any procedure has risks of infection and other complications. Our experience to date has been we have never had, knocking on wood here, we have never had any adverse events of any significance, and that has been a wonderful, I think, side effect, so to speak, of the quality care that's provided the individuals and the approaches that we take. But keep perspective, like anything else, you're traveling, there's actually needles involved, but it's not something that puts one at undue risk.
Okay. It
must be the doctor and me wanting to make sure that no one walks away saying, you said there's risk, and I didn't want you to be left on that.
Well, I figured that if I put it out there, what I found in previous talking to you is that you will correct me. And you will make sure that people understand. And that's what this is all about.
I'll try to give you a little bit more info, and then we can have dialogue.
Right. Well, no, all joking aside, I mean, that needs to be established because there's a lot of people that are listening long going, well, what about this and what about that? So if I put it out there, I might be answering some of the things that they're thinking incorrectly, such as myself. I always put myself at the top of the list. So I just had someone email me a question on how long – have you been working with the stem cell procedures?
Super question. Our lead physician, Dr. Ableet, has been working since the 1980s with stem cells. She's an oncologist hematologist, and you may or may not recognize that this is not a new field. There's a curiosity here that most people miss. Back in the late 70s, early 80s, cancer doctors, oncologists, recognize that there may be some seriously good option of using bone marrow from their leukemia and lymphoma patients, irradiating or chemo or some other methodology of making an impact on their existing gone astray immune system, and then reimplanting the bone marrow exclusive stem cells. And in fact, that is an appropriate and accepted method of treatment for many of the clients. There's a number of types of leukemias and lymphomas that we do use that and have been since those years. Dr. Ableet began in the early 80s, so she has had a substantial time frame. With the other disorders, she has spent the last 4-plus years treating a number of other disorders based on protocols that have been published throughout the world. I personally have been involved in the industry now, specifically this group, for 2 years, and working on both protocols and some of the newest approaches that have come to bear over that period of time. So there's hundreds of patients that have been treated, and one of the things that we discussed in an earlier conversation is that we are part of what's known as a transparent registry. As a consumer, what that means is that everyone who we see is being followed for 20 years by an independent organization. We actually pay them a fee to do that. And we do not have any ability to interact relative to their interaction with those patients. So it's nice, clean, objective information that they are cataloging, including any adverse events. And that same organization does what's known as an accreditation, which means that the facility is independently checked, verified for meeting quality standards of both care as well as their laboratory techniques and a host of other, it's an extensive accreditation program of 24 months in order to meet standards that are adequate for patient care. So we're one of four offshore facilities that are currently involved in that process, and there's another two in the United States, but unfortunately those two can only do the simple non-manipulated approach, so very limited. One of them, in fact, both of them exclusively do orthopedic work. Does that give another sense of things?
Yes, and is that what I'm seeing on your website, the International Cellular Medicine Society?
That's correct. That is correct.
And you just don't apply. I mean, you just don't join. It's not like a magazine subscription. You have to qualify.
Well, you can. You can become a member, and they will vet you and determine whether or not they're interested in having you as a member. There are some criteria, but this is an actual program selectively and specifically for the purpose of qualifying stem cell operations for quality assurance and making sure there's oversight by an independent organization.
So
it's an
involved in my terms,
process.
That's just the way
it's time-consuming, but it makes for an assurance that the quality of care given to the patient will be of the highest quality available and scientifically valid.
So that's the way your company is policed?
We started right from the beginning, yes. That is exactly when I came on board. That was they had just formed, and we decided that, and in fact, that was one of my criteria for joining the organization, was we needed scientific oversight and wanted to make certain there was an independence to this, not just the classic testimonials that are ubiquitous in this industry.
Hmm.
Now, what happens to you? Don't think that certain firms are certainly going to put their mistakes on their website. Well, in this case, we're willing to show you everything we do. It's a whole different mindset and, in fact, it's a consumer-appropriate way to do business.
Well, I know that in snooping around, asking questions, trying to educate myself to bring tough questions to you, I know that this here organization, this International Cellular Medicine Society, how many clinics like yours around the world are there, and how many of them are a part of that?
Okay, good questions. There are thousands of stem cell clinics. It just depends on your definition. As an example, we were recently invited to a stem cell party, I kid you not, in Mexico, that was put on by a group that essentially was selling sheep cells to physicians for the purpose of anti-aging. And if you, it was a franchise, believe it or not, and you could become a member and you could learn everything there was to do in stem cell industry in one weekend seminar. Well, needless to say, of course, that's a bit absurd, but that's the type of situation that's currently present. There are thousands of other groups that vary from implanting placenta, as in whole tissue. There's a number of groups doing embryonic. There are many other groups that are just engaged in research. And literally, in our country, as an example, if you type in stem cell research under the current one of the PubMed searches, you're going to see there's over 3,000 approved experimental models currently taking place in our country. Many of them have been going on for years. Some of them are a little bit on the newer side. They're pretty limited, in fact, very limited. And I don't know if you'd want to lump those in with the actual industry itself. So the industry varies from very large operations, such as in China, to very small operations, which is just a small laboratory or even just a doc's office, and anywhere in between. So it's literally, as many of my colleagues like to say, it's the Wild West of stem cells out there. And in terms of ICMS membership, I don't have all the specifics. The groups that have now agreed to be part of the accreditation program. There are six to date. I understand that there are eight more clinics throughout the world that are looking at the process and considering also joining in that same accreditation process. Again, this is fairly new. The drawback for an operation that's fly by night would be, of course, that not only would they not qualify in any form, even to get started, because a lot of them are vetted immediately, and as soon as they find out they're not doing something appropriate or they're not keeping adequate records or any host of other possibilities, that eliminates them from even consideration. So, again, it would be no different than having to literally try to think of something that would be a good analogy. I was just thinking of a surgical suite, but that may not be the layperson. There's just so much involved in putting together a surgical suite, but that's not the best of analogies. But it's a very, very...
Wouldn't be worth their investment, more or less, though, right?
Excuse me?
I said it might not be worth their investment to start up something like that.
Well, it's not. They're not going to qualify, and that's also a drawback to the whole situation, because if you don't qualify, then it says already that you're not obviously up to a quality level that a consumer should consider. So there's good reason to that the numbers are low. The other piece of the puzzle I think that's significant is the investment in laboratory in order to even get remote qualification is approaching $500,000 or more dollars. So you can imagine that a small operation couldn't possibly muster the fiscal resources to be able to meet that level. And so they're inevitably one of the issues that comes to bear is, well, can you be a legitimate operation and not have all of those pieces to the puzzle? I would contend no. I don't see how that's possible, because quality control issues and just laboratory, what's known as GLP, good laboratory practices, you just can't do it on a shoestring. It's not possible. It just doesn't happen. I don't even care if your country is a third world country and you have very low capital expenses when it comes to your individuals, your personnel, it still isn't going to work. It's just one of those situations where, in this case, you really do need to step up to the plate and put forward a sincere and appropriate effort to manufacture, expand, evaluate, and do surgical procedures as you would expect. So that's why you see the small numbers. I suspect it will grow over time. Remember, this is a fairly new program, but it will still remain limited by those constraints.
Okay. Well, Doc, I have to take a short break. I have a lot of callers on the line. If you want to ask a question when we come back from break, I want you to press number one while we're during our commercial break so we can get people lined up for their questions. So we're going to take a short break and we'll be right back.
Tune in to KKHT 100.7 and listen to Ken Marsh, award-winning author, international keynote speaker, and host of The Word on Fearless Networking, a show about putting Christian networking principles into action, airing Monday through Friday, 9:45 to 10 a.m. on KKHT 100.7, The Word. Imagine a world where charities meet 100% of their fundraising goals consistently. How would that transform our communities? Mission Mondays seeks to be a resource for nonprofits in the areas of fundraising and marketing to help with gaining awareness, donations, and volunteers. By chatting twice a month with a charity representative, along with experts in nonprofit fundraising and marketing, we are sharing our show with the world of nonprofits to make that vision a reality. 100% funding, hitting goals, and building strong communities around the charities that add value to our world. Listen to Mission Mondays on the Tough Talk Radio Network twice a month and learn how to profit the nonprofit.
You can project a professional image regardless of your size. Whether you're just starting or a small business, it's powerful to project a big company image to build credibility with your new prospects. Virtual Tone has a package to give you that confident presence you need. You can have a big company image over the phone and on the internet with one package. everything you need now and in the months and years to come. Virtual Tone includes a robust, expandable package of business tools and features that will help your business grow. Your package is full of powerful business tools, which include phone system with phone line that's ready to expand when you are, web hosting, including blogs up to 25 websites, email system with filters and security, popular contact management system, absolutely the only communication system your business will ever need, guaranteed. Virtual Tone Entrepreneur Packages, starting for only $99.97 monthly.
Marketing and promotions wants you. If you're a small business owner looking to harness the power of e-marketing and need an affordable solution designed to turn your marketing expenses into profit, then you need Essential Effects Marketing and Promotions. We have provided small and mid-sized businesses solutions to help them grow. And now we want to work for you. Essential Effects wants to be your expert in corporate branding, from website and logo design to corporate branding and training. We will offer a quick and easy solution designed to help you make money now. Call us today to receive your complimentary consultation. Don't let another day go by without doing something for your brand. Visit us on the web at www.e2mp.com. That's www.e2mp.com. Or give us a call at 713-965-7306.
Okay, welcome back to Tough Talk with Tony Gambone and my special guest tonight, Dr. Alan Kadish, president of World Stem Cell Clinic out of Cancun. Doc, we have a few questions on board, and I wanted to make sure that I just give everybody the website again, worldstemcells.com, and if they wanted to contact you, other than on the show right here, is there another way of them contacting you?
Yeah, let me give you a couple of options. The best way, of course, is the website. You'll see that on the left-hand column, we have a free consultation request form, and I'd encourage anyone who has a disorder, it costs you absolutely nothing. We have privacy as one of our pieces of our corporate issue, so we will not be sending you anything but a response that's appropriate. If you're not inclined any further, that's fine. So please feel free to ask some questions. One of the key other characteristics that you can always contact our care coordinators. Remember that our firm is an American firm, that's a note, and we contract with the folks in Cancun, even though we are indeed completely integrated. The other person you could contact, her email address is Colleen, C-O-L-L-E-E-N, at worldstemcells.com. And if you had a specific message you'd like to get to me directly, my email is drk, as in Dr. K, at worldstemcells.com. So any of those methods will work. And again, I ask that if you're interested in finding out whether indeed someone you know or yourself can benefit from some therapy, please fill in the consulting form. You'll find it on each one of our pages. And as you indicated at the beginning of the program, there's quite a bit of information, and just about every 3 to 5 days we're adding more. So stay tuned, come back. If you haven't seen an information piece on a particular disease and you have a question, you can always drop us an email, and 90% of the time we'll be right on it with something that we already have, and if we don't, we'll develop some further information. It's a great means for us to get the feedback from those in need.
Okay, and I just want to add one thing. I know that when my wife and I went to Dallas for a stem cell clinic, or not clinic, seminar, so that I could learn a little bit more about it. Dr. Kadish, I just want to say just what kind of fellow you are, okay? You did your homework, not to try to talk us out of going anywhere, but just to give us questions to make sure that we asked and paid attention to. So it wasn't a matter if we went to you or not. It was a matter of you educating us. And that's what stuck in my mind, and that's what takes my hat off to you, then that's what makes me think that you're on your game, because it wasn't about just using your facility. It was about using the education provided for everyone out there. So I thank you for that. Now, I'm going to go and bring up some questions. Anyone that has dialed in that hasn't pressed the number one, that has a question, do so, and we'll come down the line to you. So the first question we have is from a lady that's from Oregon, and I believe Patricia is a former patient. Patricia, are you there?
I'm here.
Welcome to the show. Do you have a question or something for the doctor tonight?
Well, I have more of a testimonial.
Awesome.
I was one of early ones to go to Cancun. I have a neurological disease called Charcot-Marie-Tooth. It's one of the better ones to have if you have to have one, although it's difficult to live with. And we feel, my husband and I feel, that it was the grace of God that took us to Dr. Kadish several years ago. And then Dr. Kadish encouraged us to come to Cancun. He really felt that this would help. And it's hard to remember 10 months.
We lost her. Are you there? Okay. We'll get Patricia back up on the line. And goodness gracious, I hate that when the internet takes charge. I'm gonna bring her back up, and I'm gonna bring on another question in the meantime. So, let me just go to. I just wanted to make sure. Give her a second to dial back in. We'll bring her up in a second. I have another young lady here from Houston named Linda. Do you have a question for the doctor?
I do, Dr. Kadish. First, thank you so much for sharing the information that you have that will help us to make better decisions, because I just know that we have access to
my pleasure.
But my question is, you talked about treatment. What does that look like, and what period of time are you talking about? A person going through, is it multiple treatments? Do they make multiple trips to Cancun? What does that look like, if you can explain that?
Absolutely. First, our experience has been that most folks will benefit fairly substantially from a single treatment. We have, in very isolated cases, felt that it was to someone's benefit to do more than one treatment. It's only been less than 5% of our clients. And one in particular, I'm going to indulge me, if you will, for just a moment. This is one of those life-changing stories, and one of the reasons I agreed to change from clinical practice to the research and work with these individuals at World Stem Cells. This gal had been through the ringer. She had scleroderma. Scleroderma, basically, the best way I can describe it, it's a connective tissue disorder that you become a prune. Everything just tightens up from your mouth to your throat to your everywhere on your body, and basically you die from respiratory distress. It's pretty typical. You become prone to infections and pneumonia and other types of disorders will finish you off. She had gone all around the South American continent seeking therapy. She wound up with some specialists in Mexico City. And even the best of the best said, you know, lady, you've got essentially 3 months to live. Write your will, do your thing, call it a day. And she had connected with Dr. Ablete, this is approximately 3 years ago, and begged her to do a stem cell therapy. She had never done any work with a specific disease of this sort and was reticent to even consider it. Ultimately, she was swayed over by a good deal of information that was sent her way and said, all right, look, you know, the woman is going to die. She's on her last legs, so what's the loss factor here? There's only a potential for gain. Well, much to my amazement, I met this woman approximately 2 years ago, and it was hard to determine if she had had any disorder. Mm-hmm. One of the nice parts is you will see she was interviewed, although she speaks Spanish, her son speaks English. She's approximately 50-something years of age. She's a well-known individual in the Mexican society. She's one of their politicians and very outspoken. And she is totally back to work and functional. This was one of those individuals who I had an opportunity to interview prior to agreeing to work with this organization. So she decided that she wanted to be as best as she possibly could. Following a single treatment, there was substantial gain. She chose to actually do more than one treatment. She felt that it was important to be 100%. She runs a very fast lifestyle where she's flying all over the country and lecturing and doing what politicians do, shaking hands and what have you. And she's, to this day, an incredibly active individual. Mm-hmm. So most people, it's a single treatment. Our typical time frame for treatment is between 6 to 7 days. Cancun, one of the nice parts is that we like avoiding the M word only because there's a misconception in the United States that all of that area in the world is dangerous and has some crazies running around with weapons, etc. The nice part with Cancun is that it's a very comfortable, safe environment. It's really almost exclusively based on the premise that tourism is our lifeblood, and they get it. They really do get it, enough to be sure that foreigners are safe, and it's convenient, it's comfortable, it's very American-like in many, many, many ways. Bilingual aspects are consistent. So it's very simple and straightforward. The other nice part is they have one of the best airports in the whole of South America, Latin America, and it's a very easy access point for North Americans, be it both Americans and Canadians. So typically single-type therapy. Typical time is between 6 to 7 days of actually being in that country. And, again, a very easy, generally speaking, very easy type of therapeutic intervention. In our letters to our clients, one of the things we'd like to stress is one of the things we'd like you to do as our client, sit back, relax, let us do the work. That's what we're here for. Let us attend to your needs. And we do want you to actually have something of a vacation, even in the midst of your disorder. There's no reason not to enjoy both the environment and the whole experience. So it's a little different medical approach than I think most people perceive.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Thank you for that explanation. Do you retain some of the stem cells for future treatments in the event that, you know, something comes up later?
We are just about to start our cryobank, so the answer is not yet, but shortly. We are going to be using liquid nitrogen cryogenics for that purpose. Most people are not doing that yet, but we are about to start that in the next probably 30 to 60 days.
Very good. Thank you so much for that.
My pleasure.
Okay, so we have Patricia back, and I want to get Patricia back up on here. Let's see. Patricia, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. We had a power outage and lost you.
Let's start over again. I want everybody to hear your story.
Okay. I have Charcot-Marie-Tooth, a neurological disease. I'm 70 years old, so it was beginning to advance. And it's one of the better neurologicals, but it was getting difficult to live with. My balance was getting worse and worse, and I walked with a quad cane or hanging onto walls and furniture or people, and was about to the place where I thought I was going to have to start using my rollator walker everywhere. We went to Dr. Kadish several years ago. That's a whole other story. We feel like it was the grace of God that took us to this man who has helped us so much. We went to Cancun December of 2010, and I had this procedure, and it's hard to remember 10 months later how bad I was then. We feel I'm probably 80% better than ever. I keep up with a lot, but I'm keeping up with it with a little more energy. better balance, although I use balance cushions at night to try to help the balance with my feet. I'm resting better. I can go up steps, albeit carefully, but for years I would avoid steps like they were the plague. I am involved some with music, just on a personal level. I can sit on the sofa and stand without help. I never used to be able to do that. I still garden with my gardening kneeler, but I keep up with the yard. And I'm a serious house cleaner, and I clean the lower part of the house on my inside kneeler. It was getting difficult to do all the clothes adjusting in the bathroom before, and now that's no problem. It's we feel like I've had a miracle. That's the long and short of it. Do you have any questions for me?
Yes, ma'am. First of all, congratulations on developing a better lifestyle. It seems as though you went from not being able to do anything to almost being able to do everything.
Well, but it was with a struggle.
Right.
I was doing almost everything before, but it was a constant struggle. And it's not the constant struggle anymore.
Mm. Which makes for a better
totally,
way of life. Yes.
Yeah, improvement is amazing.
Now, let me ask you about the procedure that you had done. Did they take it out of your bone marrow?
Yeah, out of the iliac crest.
Okay.
That, I chose not to have anesthesia because I've had way too much in my life. That was somewhat painful when they harvested the cells because they were changing, and this is my non-technical version, changing the pressure in the bone. And that was painful for just a very few minutes. And then the cells, when Dr. Albleet came back from the lab, I don't know, 45 minutes later, and put the cells back in my lower spine. And what she couldn't put there, I got back in IVs, but when she put them back in the lower spine, you could feel the pressure change, but it was totally bearable. But you get them all back one way or another. The experience in Cancun was totally positive. The personal health, I can't explain it. We've never seen any medical anything that had such personal help.
So how would you compare it to a hospital or that type of facility in the States? Was it clean? How was that experience?
The hospital, our local hospital here, is like walking into the Hilton. It's all fluff and fuss from the beginning. The hospital there was new, very plain, very clean, totally dedicated more to the patients than to their decor.
Right. No fluff.
No fluff, and that's just fine. You know,
Absolutely.
Where we all... not everybody speaks English, but Rudy, the translator for us, was able to manage any of those situations. Let me see.
So did they provide a translator for you, or was one on the premises? Or?
Well, no. He is involved with World Stem Cells.
Oh, okay.
Rudy is the translator, or at least one of them, for World Stem Cells. And he has lived in the States. His English is very good. His Spanish, of course, is very good because he's a native. He was with us any possible time we would have a problem with any language barriers. We stayed at the Marriott Courtyard, and the people there spoke very good English. We felt totally safe. The food was good. The one little sidelight on food, in the night at the hospital, I told them I wanted potato soup and a boiled egg. I got a chicken taco and some fruit I didn't recognize, but it was the best chicken taco I've ever seen. So it's like everywhere. You know, you can get into these snafus, but they're not life-threatening. They're not dangerous. They're yeah. Totally lethal.
No one ever goes to the hospital to eat. So
no.
I don't think people always say hospital food's terrible, but I don't know what they were expecting. Good surgery or good food, so I can deal with that part of it. Well, Patricia, thank you very much for calling in and telling us your story. And if you could hang on the line, we have other callers, and they might have
sure.
a question for you as well. So if anyone out there is just listening by phone or has a question for Patricia or the doctor, just press 1. I have another young lady here on the line from Houston, and I'd like to bring her up. Let's see if I click this right. Judy, are you there?
Yes, I'm there. Thank you for calling me a young lady.
Well, what else would I be able to say? I mean, I fear
well,
you.
Well, more
maybe.
Middle-aged, but thank you, Tony.
No, you're a very beautiful young lady. Do you have a
well,
question for the
you.
Doctor?
Yes, I do. Number one, I really applaud you in your efforts for what you do. I think it's phenomenal what you do. It is such a travesty that what you do is not allowed in the U.S., and I just think it's terrible one day that I hope that it can be. On a side note, partly for what Patricia was saying, I'm in the entertainment business, and I can tell you Cancun is completely safe. I travel alone, so if anybody is considering this treatment but concerned that they have to travel to Cancun, it's an entertainment city. It's you're not in where there's the drug wars and the cartels. Cancun is probably safer than most major cities in the U.S., and they take very, very good care of you. They really do. So if anyone is considering that, please don't let Cancun be the stopping point for you. The question that I had for the doctor is that I have two autistic boys, both probably considered to be high-functioning. I saw on the link that Tony sent me that you've had some success with people on the autistic spectrum, and I wondered to what extent that was.
Great questions. Thanks for the comments on Cancun.
Oh, it's a great place, I'm telling you. I've been there myself. If I'll travel alone there myself, anybody can.
Okay, fair enough. Well, I walk actually in the evenings. I like getting some exercise, and the weather is absolutely phenomenal.
Oh,
and I do walk alone as well, and I'm not an imposing large fella, so I've never had a problem, and it's been now a couple of years, so
sure.
I agree. We have treated a number of autistic spectral disorder individuals from both very low functioning to mid and high range functioning. My
mm-hmm.
background, as a quick note, is using biomedical approaches, what that means to many, and you may be familiar with the organization. It's called the Defeat Autism Now, which is
oh, sure.
a
Dan.
Group
mm-hmm.
has
sure.
been around since actually Bernard Grimlin had a youngster with autism back in the 70s,
mm-hmm.
and it was, of course, termed bad mom syndrome, et cetera.
Or refrigerator mother.
He said, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I'm not going to put up with this. And he founded an organization, ARI, Autistic Research Institute, that is
mm-hmm.
Actually the, as far as I'm concerned, the premier group doing probably mm-hmm. the most groundbreaking, scientifically based approach to dealing with autism. So my first
mm-hmm.
step on any youngster who has had a diagnosis of ASD is looking at it from a biomedical point of view, which means that we're going to evaluate immune function, gastrointestinal
mm-hmm.
function, and a
mm-hmm.
whole host of other types of disorders that have now been scientifically validated for the majority
mm-hmm.
of those individuals, and approach that from a medical point of view, coupled with a psychosocial, generally
mm-hmm.
ABA or one of the other forms of therapy. So it's a
mm-hmm.
very integrated approach. Stem cells are not a sole agent in this endeavor. So
mm-hmm.
with that said, after that experience, and I've had approximately 20 years in that environment,
mm-hmm.
what I found was the autistic youngsters that we did treat with stem cells had substantial changes. And one of the best examples, and actually there's an interview on the YouTube channel, I apologize to everyone listening, within the next 3 weeks you're going to see about 15 to 20 YouTube interviews of our clientele. We've been video shy and not having very good capabilities. We have all these uncut videos, and good gosh, some of them are just unbelievable. In particular, good example, one of the youngsters comes to mind. The youngster was unable to dress. In fact, the only thing he could do was take a sock off was the majority of the activity regarding dressing. There was no potty training, and that youngster is 4.5 or 5 years of age. So it was a real burden for the parents, and I'm sure you can appreciate
that.
Oh,
absolutely. Absolutely.
Make a very long story short, within 2 weeks post-treatment, the youngster was fully dressing himself, and mom was able to lay out the clothes and was potty trained.
So what do you attribute to that? And I apologize because I know that you've been on for about an hour, but I wasn't able to hear everything, but go ahead.
Gotcha. I think that for most people, there's more than enough data looking at the autoimmune components. In particular, two things take place that are measurable, and I think that's the mechanisms for the autistic youngsters. When you evaluate most of them, you'll find an immune dysfunction. Generally, we call it a Th1, Th2 imbalance. What that simply means in English is that the cellular mechanisms in your body versus the mechanical mechanisms, the humoral, which is the chemistry, those guys are out of sync. They just aren't doing their job. So there's the group that throws chemicals at different agents. There's the group that actually looks like Pac-Man, eats bad materials, be that a bacteria, a virus, a fungus, or some other debris. And those are out of kilter. We find that commonly in many of the ASD youngsters. What has been shown is that there seems to be, from the reintroduction of concentrated stem cells, a change in the expression of the immune system. Typically, and there's some nice work done on this, this is not theoretic, what we see is that the actual mechanisms of indicating to their own your own cells how much of a pro-inflammatory versus anti-inflammatory cascade should be present almost inevitably gets lowered inflammation. One of the nice parts with many of our clients is that we are, of course, doing blood work with everyone. And you can actually see objective changes. So we think that it's immune modulation and decreased inflammation are two of the mechanisms that probably affect the autistic youngsters significantly. There's a whole litany of literature regarding immune function and inflammation in particular with brain function. And we think what we're doing is taking some of the load off of those youngsters by the treatment. That's the Reddit concept. No one has the whole story. And you couple
it's a very
that,
puzzling
from my
disorder.
Perspective, you couple that with the biomedical approach where you're looking at such things as heavy metal issues, you're looking at such things as gluten and casein intolerance, other allergic reactivities, and a host of other nutrient deficiencies, and all of a sudden you start seeing that there's a potential for a whole different expression on the scale of ASD.
Sure. What do you believe is the cause of autism?
Oh, well, that's a kind of lengthy answer, but I think succinctly, it's a genetic predisposition is part.
I agree.
Environmental coupled with that, because here's, I think, the real key. If I had to make this literally one answer, I would say it's the environmental impact on genetic expression. That's exactly what it is. Why do I say that? Because after seeing hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of these youngsters, you can almost inevitably see someone within the family that you're sitting there going, whoa, hold it. Something going on here, folks.
I agree.
And you also see an environmental impact of mom had a disorder, let's say she had a severe cold. There's some trauma. And it could be any litany of it can be a chemical trauma, not just a physical trauma. And you start tracing that back, and I think it's a matter of genetic predisposition that's then set off by an environmental factor of one sort or another.
I would agree with that. Yeah, I would agree with that. Well, no, thank you very much, and I appreciate your time. Like I said, I think wonderful what you're doing. It just pains me that people have to travel outside of the U.S. for something like this. And
that's true.
I wish circumstances were different, but I think it's wonderful that Tony had you on the show, and I think it's wonderful what you do to help people because you give them hope. And giving them hope is something that is immeasurable, and it's a gift.
Well, I got to say, Judy, you give a lot of hope to people, too. You've written a book about this.
Yeah, I have. Thank you. Yes. I educate people about hidden disabilities. And so it's very important for me to raise awareness. So I was thrilled that, you know, like I said, you were doing what you were doing because the more people that know about it, maybe it will pressure, you know, our Congress to make changes so that these types of procedures can be done here because it really is for then the people who have the money, and that's not how it should be.
Right.
So,
and it's the money
that... Go ahead.
It's the money that's keeping it from happening here as well.
Oh, absolutely. It's very frustrating. Very, very frustrating. Great show, Tony. And, Doctor, thank you so much. Thank you for all that you do.
My pleasure.
Thank you, Judy. Thanks for calling
in. My pleasure.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Tony, I'd like to, if you would, make a few quick comments relative to Patricia's story. Perhaps.
Absolutely.
Okay. Since Patricia was one of our, not original clients by any stretch, but one of the original clients that I certainly experienced, a few things have changed for the better, much better, actually. The bilingual accessibility is 100%, including an actual group that's gotten together at one of the three hospitals we use. We use three private hospitals for our procedures, and it's really quite nice that there has been a very, very strong movement to have all of the nurses bilingual because of medical tourism in general. So things have changed. The gentleman she was referring to, Rudy, is in fact one of our care coordinators in Mexico, wonderful guy, and yes, his English is very good, having had 11 years of time in the United States. We also have added to our cadre since that time from our cab folks and taxi individuals. One of the things that we really wanted, and I believe I made comment about this earlier, we want you to relax. We pick you up at the airport. Everyone speaks English. There's drinks for you. No margaritas, sorry. Alcohol has a negative effect on stem cells, so that's not part of the drinks that I was referring to. You literally have the whole circumstance taken care of for you, whether it's the double check that your room at the hotel or any of the other facilities that you'd like to stay at are double checked, your reservations, all of that's taken care of. You literally can sit back, hopefully enjoy the weather. There was a recent small hurricane, you might recall, but it was one day of wind. That's all it amounted to. And you can take it easy. No, you're never without an option of making a phone call to us. If you need something at any time, we actually hand you a cell phone when you land. It's pre-programmed. You need to call any of us, just press a button. That simple. And there are all sorts of additional means that we have put into play to literally make this an enjoyable and easy medical experience. So just a little amplification. And Patricia, thank you so much for your comments. It is truly my appreciation. Your assistance with others with your disorder, as well as speaking to others, has truly been wonderful, wonderful. So thank you.
Okay, Doc, I have one more person that has a question, and then I'm going to steal a little bit of your time and ask you about the procedure that I'm coming there to do, because I have developed some curiosity myself on different things. But I'm going to bring up someone that's a lot smarter than I am, someone that you've been talking to for a while, and she has some questions. Wendy, are you there?
I am, I think. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay. Well, I had my phone muted, so I wanted to make sure. Hi, Doctor. How are you today?
I am fine, thanks. What can I do
Thank
for you?
Thank you so much for coming on the show. I just had, just listening, you know, jotted down a few questions, and, you know, I've been doing a lot of research. So one of my questions is, what makes stem cell therapy so different than it was, say, just 2 years ago? Is it the equipment, labs that they're using, or is it just the new discoveries? What do you say is the biggest thing that's made it different just in the last couple of years?
Probably a whole cadre of pieces. Technology has quantum leaped. From 2 years ago, literally, some of the identification processes were pretty rudimentary. They're much more refined. They're able to do, whether you're looking at CD34 exclusive cells, which means a specific type, in this case a hemopoietic, which means a blood-based stem cell. I mean, you can do that literally so easily now versus where we were only a few years ago. The knowledge of the plasticity of cells, so another term for everyone to put into their hat for tonight's conversation. One of the unique pieces of this puzzle, and we call it plasticity, is that our cells have the ability, depending on which group of cells we're speaking of, to divide appropriately and seek a particular pathway and ultimately become, whether it's an organ or a system or whatever. And that ability to change, that plasticity, is something that we've now more recognized in 2 years than we ever thought. Good example. Prior literature was very clear that if you use bone marrow, you literally could only work with muscle and connective tissue, so fibroblasts, myocytes were pretty much what was considered to be the whole piece to that puzzle. Well, we now know that was completely incorrect, and that, in fact, in bone marrow itself, you can isolate a whole host of other cells, some of which we're still finding out. It's certainly not a done deal as to what we're going to know about that particular aspect. Same holds true for fat issues. Very curious materials are now coming to bear. Good example, if you take fat from certain areas of your body and you implant it in another area, let's say you're doing a stem cell therapy, you will find that depending on where you took that, that that cell group may respond to weight loss and weight gain if you took it from the wrong spot, as an example, and you didn't want that to occur, that could be a problem. I mean, there's all these little peculiarities that we're now finding that literally are driving the industry. The other piece, the ability to identify growth factors more effectively, very expensive, certainly not an easy procedure. Prices are coming down. Equipment is getting better. So that's another area that technology is really assisting us. As far as harvesting, it's still the same place, same channel. I don't think that'll change. You either get the fat or you get the bone marrow the same way. I don't believe that'll be much different. We do use a bone marrow harvesting gun or manual. We can do it either way. So there's a couple of options. What else has changed? The literature is so amazing. Literally, every day, I'm on about 7 or 8 major feeds specifically devoted to stem cells, in addition to the overwhelming amount of medical information that flows my way. Just what people are experimenting and achieving, some of it's, and most of it's still in animal models, admittedly, but even those changes are amazing. Good example for today's finding that I thought was another one of those, oh my, that's different. Someone was experimenting in mice and then working on the question of infertility in males and their sperm. And it turns out that this was a Japanese experiment, just took place and was just reported today, that they were actually able to get infertile mice fertile again by using testicular stem cells. I mean, I know it's a little left field, admittedly, and I read some unusual things, to say the least, but as an example for today, what does that lead us towards the potential of tomorrow for infertile males? Well, it starts suggesting there may be a whole other area of therapy that no one has literally pioneered. I mean, yes, it's a mouse that we're looking at today, but that's today. It still suggests another whole area that currently no one's doing that I'm aware of with stem cells. So I think to answer your question, things have changed dramatically. It's not the same game that it was 2 years ago. People are more familiar. The technology is better. And I think we're only going to keep seeing that. There's no question in my mind as we look at equipment and we look at techniques. Good example of where some other things have changed. if you look at your literature and certainly in the newspaper, they've made quite a display of this, what's called induced polypotent stem cells. So you take a cell that was already matured, you back it up essentially, and there were some real failures. I mean, it looked really great on paper. Well, in that case, gee, I could take an adult cell, back her up to whatever point in time, and I'd have an embryonic-like cell. And there were some tumor formations and some real failures. Well, recently, there's been, because of that work, there's been some very interesting approaches on inducing and how you manipulate the differentiation of the more primordial cells, and we're making good headway in that direction. Is it a done deal? Oh, goodness, no. We're still at rudimentary levels, no question about it. I mean, I like suggesting to people that an analogy that I use is, if you'll recall in medicine in our country in the turn of the century, who was doing medicine? Barbers. I mean, think about it. That's who were really the docs of the time. And we're still very, very, very primitive in our methodology. It's nowhere near where I'd like to see it go. I think we're probably, 3 to 5 years away from doing gene manipulation in a way that makes sense. That's a whole other conversation, but I think if you ask me, well, what are you seeing? Good gosh, it's amazing. We are very close because of your tax dollars and mine being spent in amazing amounts. The government, in this case the Department of Defense, has been probably one of the largest areas of stem cell research, period. They put more money out than a whole lot of groups. Why? Because we have so many injured individuals. So when we talk about organ regeneration and we start looking at, instead of doing skin grafts, one of the pieces when I lecture, I like using, there's a new gun called the skin gun. And the fellow who put it together is absolutely brilliant. What did he do? He actually takes skin stem cells, places them in a pneumatic-type gun, and for burn victims, the difference is 4 to 5 days healing versus 10 to 12 weeks. Does it work? Yeah. Oh, good. It's amazing. So when you ask me what's new, I can go on for hours. There's no lack of new.
So we're definitely moving in the right direction.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Absolutely moving in the right direction. This is an exciting time. I know that's said rather frequently, but realistically, just in terms of the ability to figure out where we're headed and what's going on, none of this could have been done 5 years ago, literally. You couldn't do it. You didn't have the computing power or the machinery to get where we are today. Will I see this consistently move in that direction and move forward? Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, it's very, very, very exciting.
Great. Well, thank you for that. One more question, and I'll let Tony get on. It's kind of part of what he's probably going to ask you. I know that you guys don't like to use the word cure because a lot of these disorders that you help people with, you know, I guess for like Tony, I don't know, may not be cured, but he could be put in remission for the rest of his life. Is that, in fact, the case?
Yes. So let's address that. First, three things to be said about the C word. It's illegal. It's absurd. It's fraudulent. I think that's enough said. There's, in fact, it was one of the classic that maybe would summarize this, but I think I'll just let people find it on their own doing. There's a gentleman who has been in this industry for ages, and all over his site, he tells you that he cures everything. I mean, from warts to you name it. Well, that's ridiculous. First, I don't cure anything. I'm simply a physician giving you information and potentially providing some materials that allows your body to, in fact, heal. I don't heal anything. I'm just a facilitator and nothing more. Maybe with some more high technology, but nothing more than a facilitator, period. So clearly that is an inappropriate term. When we all look at, I guess for me, if one were to say those words, does that mean you're ageless, that you're immortal? Well, that might be an interesting perspective, but that, again, brings us to a whole different conversation. Then maybe that word might have applicability. At this juncture in reality, I don't think it applies. Sorry. It's not in our vocabulary, and it's not only illegal, but I think it's just immoral for people to make those claims. Now, answering your question about how much of a remission will take place? Well, I think Patricia is an excellent example. It's now been over a year. Her quality of life, which I think is really the basics that I use. In fact, one of the things we do with many of our clients is we give them what's known as a QOL form, and it's specific to their disorder. QOL stands for quality of life. And what that means is, how is the quality? I mean, what are you about? If you're in pain every day, I got news for you. Your quality isn't very high. It just doesn't work well. And we track this. This is part of our tracking methods specific to diseases. What's your range of motion with your ability to ambulate? Are you falling over because your vestibular function, your ability to remain upright is out of kilter? All those are critical mass pieces. So if we can get, and even the word remission, I'm not quite sure what that's going to mean as it's different for everyone. If we can increase your quality of life and make this that much easier to be part of life in general, then I think we've accomplished our goal. If we can do that for the maximal amount of time, then we've just done, I don't know, I don't want to say miracles, but I think we're certainly moving in the direction.
It would be a miracle in that person's life, absolutely, yeah.
But that's how I like judging, and that's my criteria for where are we with our clients. I mean, I think time will certainly tell. Unfortunately or fortunately, many of our clients are older. I'm thinking of some of the 80-year-olds now that we've seen. Will I be able to get a 25-year history? Well, I don't know. I don't know. Am I?
It's possible.
Uh-oh.
Did we lose the doctor?
Yeah, I think we did.
Maybe he had a blackout, power outage.
Well, let's give him a second. I'm sure he's going to call back in. And we'll take a short break and we'll come right back.
Calling all racers, calling all charities. Races for Change wants to help you with your individual or team fundraising gaps. A resource for fundraising tips, marketing ideas, and scholarships to get you to the starting line for your charity race. Swim, bike, run, walk, or jog to transform your nonprofit and click your way to racesforchange.org for scholarships, resources, ideas, and connections. The cash in your pocket, the loose change in your car, the coins in your piggy bank. A little change goes a long way to help charities fund their mission. And Races for Change is one nonprofit changing the fundraising arena. We want to be the change participants need to get to the starting line for their charity race. At racesforchange.org, we provide resources, ideas, connections to the experts, and scholarships to put the fun back in fundraising. Run, swim, or bike your way to your mission and let us help you with the fundraising gaps that slow you down and keep you from getting to the starting line.
Do you desire to increase productivity and income? Do you want to achieve your personal and professional goals? If so, then book Tony Harris at your next event to motivate and inspire your membership and employees to greatness one step at a time. Tony Harris is a dynamic, energetic, and passionate speaker that empowers and inspires her audiences to step outside of their comfort zone to make changes until they achieve success. To find out more about Tony or to book her for your next event, go to www.tonyharrisspeaks.com.
Okay, it seems as the doctor has dropped off, and we're trying to get him back up on the line there. I'm hoping he didn't experience the same power outage that Patricia did in that area. Anyway, we'll have him back up shortly, and I just wanted to take this opportunity to talk about one thing. Is I am trying to get Dr. Kadish to do more of these types of shows on internet radio with us, maybe every other week, so that people can get more education on it. So for people out there, and Dr. Kadish is back up on the line, we'll have him here shortly, people out there that are interested in me going forward and getting Dr. Kadish to come back on maybe every other week or so, once a month or whatever, to speak more about this so more people can get educated, I really would wish you would email me at tony@tonygambone.com. All of the information that you've heard here tonight,
is quality educational stuff. Now, there was a lot of information, and maybe you didn't get to conquer it all or write it all down. This is a recording that will be posted back up on the internet, so you'll be able to hear it over and over and over again. But like I said, you can call me, you can email me, tony@tonygambone.com, and we can make sure that you get anything that you need or a direct link to Dr. Kadish to ask your questions. Now I want to bring Dr. Kadish back up. We have him up here again.
Sorry about that. I'm not sure what happened. It was an internet glitch.
Yeah, sometimes the internet, we wear it out. And sometimes it just needs a breather. And it's probably my fault for not going to break sooner. Maybe it's my sponsors. I'm not sure. But anyway, your answers tonight were very good. I was just explaining to our audience, you know, I am going to be bothering you to see if you'll come back on once a month or twice a month to do more of these shows. As long as they would email me and show me that there's an interest in it, I think I could talk you into doing that just to spread the education on it. Now, I really, really appreciate all your time. I've had you on the phone on the show for over an hour and a half. So I want to make my questions short and simple. I just wanted to I know that I was first discussed with a clinic about going into, I guess the best word is my love handles, because they're so lovely, to get the cells out of there. And what they explained to me was that that was a way of getting a lot of cells so that they could keep them on, I don't know, for lack of a better word, file, in case I needed more of them. When I spoke to you, you explained things differently, which made a lot of sense, because not that you don't go through the love handle and do it through the fat, but I have an ileostomy, which is a colostomy bag, for those who don't understand what that means, and I would have to wear a band. So it's almost like, it's not really something that would be recommended for me to do. So what I would like to find out is what the procedure would be on me who has Crohn's in the case that I have, and I believe that you're going to go into my bone marrow in my leg, but could you explain that process?
Sure. One of the misconceptions with the, and I think every listener would probably have interest in this, when you take fat out of someone, I don't care whether it's abdominal, whether it's in your love handles, wherever, it hurts. If anyone needs to have that reinforced in their mind, just go to any of the YouTube or other videos that show liposuction, and I think within a few moments you'll go, oh my goodness, this is, wow, whoa. Now, let me bolster that in a little different direction, in the sense that, one, we use a very small cannula. It's not intended to grab lots of fat from anyone, because you don't need large amounts. But regardless of how much you take, proper response is to wear, in fact, a restraining product, a girdle-like affair, because you don't want a cellulitis or other infective process post-therapy. Again, I find that one of the things I need to look at, and I think